This is the greatest hour to follow Jesus.
John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease. This is John the Baptist speaking. Before I go to verse 31, the context here is marriage with Jesus. It's John as the bridegroom. I'm sorry, John as the best man, basically, and Jesus the bridegroom. We'll get into that another time. Verse 31, listen carefully, underline this, memorize this. Are you ready? He who comes from above is above all. Let me say that again. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. Say, Jesus is above all. Say it again. Jesus is above all. Come on, you've got to say it like you mean it. Jesus is above all. You will be tested your entire life as to whether or not you really believe that. Jesus is above Jesus' image. The Jesus, listen up. The Jesus people don't talk about the Jesus people. They talk about Jesus. True prophets don't spend their entire life saying, this is how you prophesy. They spend their entire life saying, this is Jesus. You say, what are you talking about? I know exactly what I'm talking about. I said this last week. We'll know we're in a true Jesus movement when Jesus is more preeminent in our hearts than the movement. What are we saying when we say these things? We are in a Jesus movement. What does that mean? Does that mean people are gathering? Or does it mean that Jesus is among us and moving? It's a big difference. I'm not pressing into gathering you here. Our team will tell you that. I need God here. My goal is not a people. My goal is Jesus himself. He's got to move beyond theory. Beyond our conversation. Beyond the fact that he's becoming a bit more acceptable and a bit more trendy now. And I'm glad his name is being declared. But the Jesus people are in love with him. Him, the real him. So the message, listen up, the message of the church is not church. Oh, I'm going to get emails from my pastor friends. Can I have that bag for a moment there, Nathan? I wrote down some glorious stuff today. And I forgot to grab this. Do you know in heaven we won't be talking about heaven? No one's going to write an essay on the street of gold. No. There's a lamb in the midst of the throne. Wow. Jesus is unto nothing because he is everything. You missed it. You missed it. Jesus is unto nothing because he is everything. There's a perspective now that if we could just get revival, we'd get the right candidate in office. Revival's not unto an election. I'm not against it. Please hear me. I'm just saying, maybe some of you in this room think, if God would just come, then I could see this person elected. But Jesus doesn't work for a candidate. Jesus refuses to be part of anything because he is all. All cannot be part of. And the Jesus people spend their life longing to love the one who is all. Longing to see more of him, more of his beauty. Longing to have his presence revealed to them, his character revealed to him. They long to know his ways. I don't know about you, but what just happened to Wendy blows me away. She didn't even listen to me. God healed her and then gave her her own personal altar call. After she missed the first one. What type of Jesus do we serve? He's amazing. Jose, can you shut that door? Thank you, buddy. No, Jesus. He is all in all. He's above all because he's from above. I just don't think it's landing. God's moving, but it's just not landing. Because if it landed, you'd hit your neighbor. You can't sit through what I'm saying and go, it's above all. It's from heaven. Yeah, he came from heaven. He's from heaven. And it's above all. Yep, makes sense. The fact that you're staring at me is proof we need more. The message of the missionary who goes is not go. What do you say once you go? And the message of the great evangelist is not evangelize. And the triumphant message of revival is not revival. We don't even know what it is. Everyone has a different answer. What is revival? 10 questions. 10 people, 10 answers. I'll tell you what revival is. When Jesus comes to live with you. It's Jesus. The message of revival is Jesus. The message of the evangelist is Jesus. The message of the pastor, as I said earlier, is not, this is how you build a big church. The message of the pastor is, Jesus, the head of the church. God is raising up pastors and church leaders who learn to bring his presence and keep him when he comes. We're teaching people how to build church, but we're not teaching them how to bring the head of the church. I don't want to do a launch party without the Lord. Rather, don't tell me who won the U.S. Open, but if Jesus wasn't here tonight, I'd rather be watching the Open. And then you should too. I hope you came for him. The last thing I want you to do is come meet us. Oh, this one. This one gets my friends in the Bible Belt every time. The message of the Bible is not the Bible. Do you know some of the most antichrist opponents of Jesus are theologians who've memorized the Bible? I'm reading you the Bible. This is perfect. The Bible is infallible. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is eternal. The Word of God is eternal. It is perfect, and forever it is settled in heaven. Our students will tell you they get so much Bible, it comes out of their ears at Jesus School. I love the Word of God, but the message of the Bible is this is Jesus Christ. If I don't find him there, listen, I love how Bill Johnson says it. If I don't find him there, it just equips me to debate. And lovers don't go to their Bible to get ammo for their next argument. Lovers go to the Bible because they realize it is the heart of Jesus made available on paper. Hallelujah. Am I boring you? So the message of this Jesus movement is Jesus, not the movement. And in that, he begins to move. And when he moves, mountains bow. Crooked paths are made straight. Mountains are also cast into the sea. Troubled waters are calmed. People get healed. That's what happens when Jesus begins to move. When he comes, he is not a lazy spectator. When Jesus comes, he's full of compassion, and the Bible says his compassion moves him. Moves him. You can learn to draw Jesus' presence straight into your home. When people walk in, they go, oh, God lives here with you. I'm serious. You know, I have children, and it's pretty wild in the living room. My daughter's into just, I don't know, but this slime thing. When, I don't get it. Every YouTube's on slime or how to make body scrub. And my living room, sometimes it just looks like a slime factory. It's in the carpet. Oh! And Jessie is a neat freak. She keeps a clean house. I'm not joking. We've had, when Michael and Larissa Miller were over from Upper Room, they took a sip of water, put it on our counter. Before they could take their next sip, Jessie had it in the dishwasher. And they actually looked at her and go, oh, you're one of those. She's like, she said, yeah, I am. I'm like that. Sorry. But man, you know, three kids, they gang up on you. My oldest is very neat. The other two need sozo. They're a little different there. So sometimes, well not sometimes, daily, I retreat from the jungle and I walk into my prayer room. And it's a different world. Tangibly. A different world. Steph walked into the prayer room last week and she was stricken by the power of God. Eric walked in there a month ago. He goes, it's different here. It's peaceful. It's calm. Well, that's what happens when you're with the Lord for hours and hours and hours. His presence changes things. Your house can become like heaven on earth. Oh, you ready? And the true theologian has made Jesus his theology. His message is Jesus, not his perfect theology. Ay, ay, ay. And the true apostle is not enamored with the term apostle. He's enamored with the chief apostle, the cornerstone. Upon whom the whole church hinges. True apostolic ministry has one focus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come now. Fill this room. Come into my home. I have no other sermon. Every song matters. Every key matters. Every stringed instrument matters. You paying attention matters. All of it, listen, all of it plays into something. God coming. That's why I say don't move. Because distraction kills that. We have to get used to doing things biblically. What did Jesus do before he multiplied bread and fish? The Bible says he broke them up into groups of 50 and hundreds. He understood that working a miracle required divine order. And we come in with our latte. We're upset it's got cinnamon on it and not cocoa powder. And we're moving around. This is the holy word of God. And then we leave and say, why don't miracles happen today? And the moment, oh gosh, I'm feisty tonight. The moment the pastor says, don't move, we go to another church. And we tell that pastor that miracles don't happen at that church. That's what happens. See, we want Jesus to be our shepherd until he tells us to stay within the fence. The slime's messing me up. All the fumes, all the color, it's just jacking me up. That's apostolic ministry. It's to build a home for God. It's got to be more than handing out our business card. This one. It's so deep. You ready? You're going to need three commentaries and a concordance. Are you ready? The Christian's message is Christ. Yeah, that makes sense. Why would I activate you to get a word of knowledge? You don't know your Savior. See, I'm 22 years old, and I've learned. Why are you laughing? This is blonde. I bleached it for too long. I feel Jesus tonight. I really do. See, I've been around a little while now. I've seen what happens when you make detailed word of knowledge your culture, words of knowledge your culture. So all of a sudden, me telling you that you're going to change the world for Jesus is a lesser prophecy. It's lesser than me giving you your phone number. And so what we did is we determined as a people what wows us. So I can look at John and Jenna and say, you're going to shake a nation for Jesus. And we go, that was average. But if I give you your bank account number and leave Jesus' name out of it, all of a sudden, I'm filled with awe. If a prophet fails to mention Jesus, run. 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 Because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. All right, let me keep going here. Let me keep going. If it's not about Jesus, it is not Christian. How could it be? If it's not about him, how could it be Christian? He is the faith. He's the author and the finisher. May the day come where washing feet wows us. May the day come that a consistent life of devotion wows us. May the day come that someone's eyes who flicker with first love, may that wow us again. May humility wow us again, the humble nature of the Lamb. May loving our enemies wow us again. You understand? May forgiving those who persecute us, wow us again. May preaching a faithful gospel wow us again. Do you know what I always love watching at Jesus School? I love the hunger that comes in, and I refuse to turn it off. Bill says this, I've never seen a single revival end because of too much passion. And oh man, the first years come in, they're like Holy Spirit gymnasts. They come in, and I mean, if some of them, if you don't look at them, they're not just going to dance, they're going to dance 3 feet away from you, so you know they can dance. And some will sing much louder, just so you can hear them. And the best part is they don't think I can hear them. But I can hear them. And the louder they sing, in my internal registry, I'm going, that'll just be more time off the platform. Because you know when they're singing to Jesus or if they're singing to you. Well, I refuse to quench it because I'd rather have these wild, hungry, just these longing brides of Jesus coming in with everything they are. But I've learned something slowly. Slowly, less and less flesh comes to the surface. And a good leader understands this. I'm going to celebrate what is of the spirit in them, intentionally not celebrate the flesh, and they will learn very quickly what Jesus is like. No flesh glories in his presence. Now by second semester, they're not calm in a dead way. They just allow the Lord to animate them. I mean, some of the wildest ones now are like so balanced. I mean, you have no idea the stuff I've seen. It's awesome. It's funny. Like somehow answer, hey, how are you doing? Just Proverbs 16:11-ing it. You know how it is. I'm like, what in the world is Proverbs 16:11? Next time, just say, I'm good. I'm serious. Just Ecclesiastes 2:18-ing it. You know how it is, man. Wait, what? I asked you your name. What is your name? Can I tell you a funny story? My buddy went out on street ministry with another friend. They were in Panama City. They were in Bible school at Brownsville in the heat of the revival. They were convinced that this poor spring breaker had a demon. So the one guy ran up to the guy. The dude's on spring break. And instead of asking the guy how he is, he said, "What is your name?" That's it. This guy's like probably holding a beer on the side of the road, and this dude addresses the supposed demon. "What is your name?" The guy goes, "Phil." "Phil?" I thought that was great. And then he said, "No, no, no. What is your name?" The guy goes, "Bro, you're freaking me out. My name's Phil. The stuff we do, we think it's spiritual, it's cosmic, it's weird, and it's not Jesus." I'm not saying Jesus is always going to make sense to you, but there's something beautiful that happens when he begins to do it, when he comes upon you. Listen up. Your activity does not guarantee his. Yielding is not about your activity. It's not about us. I'll never forget, I was playing golf with Pastor Rodney once, and we were just laughing, and I was hitting shots. He was loving watching it, as I do. And all of a sudden, like on the eighth hole, he snaps. He goes, "You don't need more anointing." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." I'm like, "Take it easy. You're a little close. We're in the cart." He said, "You need to learn to yield more." This was 2015. The whole drive home, I'm like, God, my whole life I heard about yielding. I thought I was doing a decent job. People were getting healed. Our events had, God was moving in the events. I thought, man, but it was harassing me. And I'm in my car, right in Lake Mary, and I said, "Lord, teach me to yield." I kid you not. Within a second, I find myself in a roundabout. Literally. And in less than a second, I come to a yield sign. The Lord's incredible. How he gets us to think things at the right time, I don't know. He's teaching algebra. We're the ant. I came to the yield sign, and the Lord said, "Pay attention now." I stopped, listen up, and the car in front of me led the way. The car who was already on the road led the way. That's how you yield to the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. You let him take the lead. Because he's already on the road you need to get on. He's on the roundabout. See, the reason these meetings matter as far as their detail, this is why. Jeremy Riddle and I were talking about this a while ago. He's so right. He said, "When I lead, I begin to realize that God has a bigger plan in that meeting than just me. So when I take the platform, I realize God has an agenda. He has a will that's bigger than Michael. And that God wants to do something in the lives of individuals and corporately in that moment, whether it's a stadium or a church meeting like this. Matt and I were together at the Send Brazil. The first thing I did is begin to sing Agnes Dei with Matt. Why? Not because it breaks the ice. Because worship gives me an audience with Jesus, and I don't know where to go until he takes the lead. We don't worship to get to a better moment. Worship is the moment. It's the moment. Worship is the surest road to his manifest presence. Every time. So the entire moment, you're taking a step back and allowing the Lord to lead the way on the roundabout. And you yield again, and the Lord moves. And you yield again, and the Lord moves. This is life in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not weird, and he doesn't need flesh to bring him glory. It cannot. So yielding is actually me stopping. I'll never forget the Holy Spirit teaching me this. He said, every red light for you is a green light for me. Because the red light requires humility. God is raising up more people who are saying this in their hearts. Are you ready? I don't know what I'm doing. If you come into his presence with the roadmap, rather than getting the roadmap in his presence, you're going to get tired real quick. I will challenge you. Give me 5 more minutes. I challenge you. Take a day and spend the whole day with God. This is how you learn. Take a day. I mean, schedule. When you leave tonight, get on your Google Calendar. If you're cursed to have one like I am. What happened to the days where I didn't have a calendar? Anyways, we'll get my therapy later. Schedule the day. Get up, shower so the Lord doesn't smell you. Brush your teeth so he doesn't have to smell your stank cotton mouth. Put on deodorant. He'd appreciate that. Go in your room and say, Lord, I'm here from 8 to 4. Well, if you start at 8, by 8:15, you'll be through your prayer list. It'll be done. That's a long one. I have a 4-page prayer list that I pray through every day. My family, those people that need to get saved, thank God. That's about an 8-minuter. It's 4 pages. Because once you're in his presence, you don't have to beg. You just declare it, you know it's done. Amen. Because his presence, listen, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of faith. So his manifest presence, in his manifest presence, faith is available. So the goal is not I need faith, the goal is him. I need to be aware of him. And when Jesus is close, his faith is imparted to you. It's called the faith of God. Listen carefully. By 8:15, you'll be through your prayer list. Here's the problem. You have 7 hours and 45 minutes to go. Now what? Now what? How long can you read the word? After an hour, you'll need a break. So now you have 6 hours and 45 minutes. Now what? How many Jericho marches can you do around your little prayer closet? Oh, I'm dating myself. For you prophetic people, your arms will get tired from waving the flag after 20 minutes. And for you extreme prophets, you can't blow a shofar in there very long. You'll pass out. You'll pass out. You lose oxygen. Hmm. So at best, we're at 7 hours. You know what happens in that place? You learn something. It is not by might. It's not by power. It's by my spirit. And the Lord watches. He goes, "Oh, that Jericho march. Pretty cool. Enjoy it. For you old-time Pentecostals, you run out of prayer language words and you start repeating them and you get a blister on your tongue from going so hard, and the Lord just waits. He'll wait until you let Him lead the dance. Until you allow Him to be bridegroom in the moment and lead the romance. You understand, the bride allows Jesus to do all, and she gazes at Him with every step in mind. That's why the bride loses her name at a wedding and takes His. His identity is hers, and she's lost her own. In this place, the Lord starts to move, and He talks to you and touches you and begins to move you and take you to the right scriptures and teach you to pray the scriptures. He teaches you to wait in silence. He'll tell you when to pray in tongues. And all of a sudden, it doesn't wear you down, but it builds up the inner man. What's the point? The more spirit in your life, the less flesh will manifest. How did I get there? I don't know. Only to say this, Jesus must be all to us because He is all. And the reason He is all is because He's above all. And the reason He's above all is because He's from above. There is no one like Him. So I don't want you to think. I hear people say, Jesus is love. You're right, but love is not Jesus. I've heard people say that Jesus is grace. You're right, but grace is not Jesus. Do you understand the difference? He rests on His own. He is not Republican. He is not Democrat. Jesus sits on His own throne. And it's not in D.C. It's way nicer. It's above the highest height. Do you follow me? In Joshua chapter 5, Jericho is about to fall. And there's a reason the Lord is saying this to us tonight. Because there is more opportunity now than ever to be distracted. Don't join the fray. Just keep staring so you pass the test. This is a test for the church. This is a test for the church worldwide. God is watching us argue. He is watching the distraction. He is watching the hours on social media. He is watching all the arguments. He's watching us pray rather than asking for His presence. We're praying into other stuff that only His presence can heal. And God's saying, man, you didn't even get it right in the midst of a plague. You want to go around the mountain again? See, we don't think like the Lord. Jesus is unto nothing better. He is not a bridge. He is the promised land. It's Him. Joshua chapter 5, they're about to take Jericho. And Joshua sees a mighty, with a capital A, angel of the Lord. And whenever you see that capitalized, you know it is Jesus. Jesus is the angel of the Lord there. And Joshua asks a question. He says, are you with us or are you with those in Jericho? Are you on my team or are you with the enemy? And Jesus says this, neither. I am the captain of the Lord of hosts. You don't get to pick me and put me on your team. This is not basketball in the fourth grade where you line them all up and go, I'll take Charlie. No, the other, I'll take Johnny. Jesus is not the first or the last to get picked. We don't pick Him and put Him on our team to fulfill our agenda. He says, no, buddy, you're getting it all wrong. You need me. I am the captain of a greater army. And the only reason you're about to win is because I'm here. You don't pick me, I pick you. Hear my voice. You don't pick me, I pick you. Hallelujah. Come on, close your eyes, stand up. Father, in the name of Jesus, come on, just lift your hands. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for all you're doing. We thank you for what you're doing in the nation. We thank you for this. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this great Jesus movement. Jesus people are emerging, filled with you, filled with wonder. Come on, pray. Filled with awe, filled with a hunger for your beauty, filled, Lord Jesus, with the desire to see you and be with you and adore you and watch you move. Hallelujah. Don't ever let it be said of Jesus' image that we rest on laurels, that we call ourselves a Jesus people, yet we're not filled with Jesus himself. Don't ever let it be said. Be our message, be our desire, be our guide, be our goal, be our everything. Hallelujah. Thank you for every miracle tonight. I thank you for every miracle on the live stream in the name of Jesus. Thank you for every soul saved. And thank you for what you're doing here. In Jesus' mighty name.
To get daily teaching from Michael and to follow our event schedule around the world, please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Be sure to subscribe to the Jesus Image TV YouTube channel as well. By partnering with Jesus Image, you will help us take the saving and healing power of Jesus to the world. Your giving changes lives forever. For more information, please visit us online at jesusimage.tv or write us at Jesus Image, P.O. Box 950-640, Lake Mary, Florida 32795. Thank you for your prayers and financial support. Jesus is the answer for every life, everywhere.